The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Sanhedrin, this Masechet has been sponsored anonymously. Nirfu'ah Shinema Dina Bat Sara. Enna Rifanada, Enna Rifanada, Enna Rifanada, Rifuata Nefesh, Rifuata Guf, Rifuata, Romana Bovechin Yirason, Renomar Amen. Daf Kuf Aleph. Today's daf is being studied. لأن نشمات أبراهام بن إستر وحشم تنحنو بغن عدن أمين تريز داب is being studied رفو أشهد ما دينا باتسارع إلنا رفعنا الله رفوة النفش ورفوة تقوم ورفوة تاكر ربا لبو بخين يرسوم ونمار أمين We begin today's daf on كوف عمود بيت We are six lines from the bottom starting from the سيمان زراء ربا مشارشيا حنينا توفيا ينا يفي يوحنان مرحم يوشوا مكتسر Gemara begins, Amar Bizera, that being the first of the Siman. Amar Rav. My dichtiv, what does it mean in the Pasuk? Kol yeme ani ra'im. All the days of the poor man, Abed. Who's that referring to? Elu ba'ale Talmud. This is referring to those that study the Talmud. Why should that be such? So that she says, Shekashe lilmod. It's not easy to learn the Talmud. Merov kushiyot v'sugiyot sheyeshbo. So those that study Talmud, they're like the Ani. His days are bad, meaning it's difficult. He has questions, he has to give answers, he has to figure out the sevarot. He doesn't have an easy time studying the Talmud. V'tov lev m'shtet tamid. But tov lev, the good-hearted man, always has a party. Who's that referring to? Elu ba'ale mishnah. Mishtayot are basically easy. They're psak halachot. So therefore, it's much easier to learn the Mishnayot. There's no questions, there's no answers in the Mishnayot. So it's Tov Lev Mishteh Tamid. He has a good time, it's an easier time. Rava Amar Ipcha. Rava comes along and says the exact opposite. Rashi, Baram Rashi, the Baalet Talmud Nehenin Migi'ot Sheit'ud Le'orot Isur Ve'eter. At least those that study Gemara, they have happiness because they come out to Halakha Lema'aseh. They come out with a conclusion. They come out with the bottom line. אבל בעלי משנה שונה ואינו יודע מה הוא אומר. He learns and learns and learns and doesn't know what he's saying. Why? דאין מורין הלכה מתוך משנה. Because he can't פוסק הלכה from the משנה. So therefore, all his learning, he's like a poor person. He doesn't end up with something in the end. That's the איפכה. והיינו דאמר, רב משאל שם שומד הרבה. מהי דכתיב? What does it mean when it says in the פסוק, מסיע הבנים יעצב בהם? The one that hews the stones, he takes the stones from the quarry, so he has sa'ar, he has ya'tsev, he has hardship. What's that referring to? Elu ba'ale mishnah. The one that takes the stones, he has hardship. Ubokeya etzim, but the one that chops wood, yisachin. Bam, he will get warm. Elu ba'ale talmud. This is the Talmud. What does this Gemara mean? The one that hewns the stone is like the one that studies Mishnah. The one that chops the wood is like the one that studies Gemara. Pshat is like this. If a person is cold, so how does one person warm himself up? You do work. By working, it warms the body up. So when you warm yourself up by cutting stones, it's very temporary. Because after you finish hewning the stones, what happens? You get cold again. Masha'en ken, when you're chopping wood, after you chop the wood, you're hot because you worked, then you can take the wood, you can make a fire. So you can continue to be hot. So therefore, those that study Gemara, that's like the wood, they remain warm because they enjoy the halakha, they enjoy the bottom line. Masha'en ken, Mishnah is temporary. Mishnah is like chopping the, is chiseling the stones. When you're working, you feel warm. But after you're finished, you don't have too much to show for it. Abhanina says, another explanation. Kol yeme ani ra'im. The days of the poor man, abed. Ze mi sheyesh lo isha ra'ah. Okay, somebody has a bad wife. His days are bad. Ve'tov lev b'shtet tamid. Ze sheyesh lo isha tova. Okay, the opposite. He has a good wife, so he's always happy. Rabbi Yanai Omer, kol yeme ani ra'im ze istenis. That stomach is very finicky. It's called an istenis. And therefore, he's very sensitive. Anything he sees to him is disgusting. Everything he sees to him is unbearable. So he has no life, this guy. But the man that's happy, that's he's able to accept even things that are dirty, things that are not so pleasant, he doesn't bother him so much. Rabbi Yohanan Amar Kol Yemei Ani Na'im Ze Rahmani. The man that's referring to Kol Yemei Ani Na'im, that his days are bad, is referring to a person that is overly compassionate. So everything bothers him. He feels bad for this guy, he feels bad for that guy. He's always upset because he's always crying for somebody. Ve'tov le'mishne tamid ze achzari. But the achzar, he's always happy. The cruel guy, he don't care about anybody else's problem. Therefore, he's always happy with his own share. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar kol yemei ani ra'im ze she'da'ato ketzara. Da'ato ketzara, what does that mean? He gets angry very quickly. Now she says, "Mesim lebo kol da'agod." That's the first one. Da'ato ketzara. Mesim lebo kol da'agod. Chaverim do'ega kol ma she'atid lavo alav. Da'ato ketzara. Different explanations over here. Ve'tov le'mishne tamid ze she'da'ato rechava. I'm looking at the Shna Harina and the Rashi. The second line. Da'ato ketzara ragzan. That's the pshat. Which means, a guy who's always angry, he has no life. Kol yemei ani ra'im. But the guy that goes with the flow, he's da'ato rechava, he doesn't get angry, he has patience, so he's always happy. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, kol yemei ani ra'im. Now we go to the simple pshat. The poor man, his days are always bad. Why? Because he doesn't have anything to eat. He's always starving. So the Gemara asks, "Va'ikas Shabbatot v'yamim tovim." What do you mean? What about Shabbat and Yom Tov? The ani, maybe he doesn't have what to eat during the week, but even the worst ani on Shabbatot, he has special foods. So why you tell me all the days of the ani are bad? Shabbat is not bad. Kiddush Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel, Shinui Veset, Techilat Chodei Me'ayim. Shmuel holds. When you change your regimen in food, that's the beginning of intestinal problems. Which means, you're right, he starts to eat better food on Shabbat. But since his body's not used to it, he's used to eating cheaper foods during the week. So when he starts to eat the heavier foods of Shabbat, that day's also bad for him. Because what happens? He gets a stomachache. Because the shinui veset, the change in the regimen, causes him to get intestinal problems. So even Shabbat, he might be eating better foods, but his body is not unable to tolerate it. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braita. You can read that Rashi, by the way. Look at the fourth line in Rashi. Shinui veset. Mishane veset ve'ochel yoter. He eats more than his regiment. She'enu ragil le'echol hainu tehinat choli me'ayim. What's going to happen? Intestinal problems. Stomachache. Lefikach afilu Shabbatov yamim tovim ra'im lo. Even Shabbat and Yom Tov is bad for him. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan. Hakore pasuk shel Shira Shirim. If a person reads pasukim, even one pasuk from Shira Shirim, ve'oseh oto kimin zemer, he makes a song out of a pasuk in Shira Shirim. I'm not talking about the Gemara. I'm not talking about reading it with its ta'amim and its nekudot. It's ta'amim. He takes a pasuk in Shira Shirim. Now he turns it into a song. Vakore pasuk bebet ha'mishta'ot. For that matter, if a person reads pasukim in a party. He's singing songs in a lightheaded way. They're at the party, they're drinking, and he's singing the words of the Torah to amuse them. Velozmano, that's out of its time. Mevira la olam. Both these people bring bad to the world. Mepene shatorah chogeret sak. The Torah, when it's mistreated like that, when it's turned into a song, when it's turned into an amusement, the Torah puts on sackcloth. Ve'omedet lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it stands in front of the Almighty. Ve'omedet lefanav Rebono shel Olam, asa'uni banecha kikinor shemenagenim bo letzim. Your people have made me like a violin, like a harp, that the letzim, that the scoffers use to amuse themselves. That's what they're using my words of Torah now. Amar la biti. So the God tries to protect the Jewish people. So God tells the Torah, what do you want them to do? They're eating and drinking, so they're singing words of Devarei Torah. They're singing Pesukim. What do you want them to do when they eat and drink? Yeah, if they know how to learn Tanakh, let them learn Tanakh. Let them sit at the table when they're eating and drinking with a book and study. If they know how to learn Mishnah, let them read Mishnah. The Talmud, and if they had how to study the Talmud, Yasku, Belchot Pesach, Be Pesach, Belchot Atzeret, Be Atzeret, Belchot Hag, Be Hag, let them study the laws that are pertinent to each time of the year. The laws of Pesach and Pesach, Sukkot, Sukkot, Atzeret, Atzeret, Shavuot, Shavuot. Now let's read the Rashi's over here till this point. Hakore Shira Shirim, so the right column. Ve'oseh oto kiminzim shekore bingina acheret she'enu nakudba, which means he's reading it in another tune besides the ta'amim. That's not that doesn't have. Ve'oseh ota kimin shir. Now afapi shemishir shirimu ve'ikaro shir. Now even though it's the Song of Songs. So seemingly you're not doing anything wrong. You're singing the Song of Songs. She says, "Asul as to kim in shir ela bekriato." Don't make it your own song. Follow the song of the ta'amim, of the notes. Akore pasuk bebet mishmaot belo bezman mano. Rashi, if a person sings pesukim at a party, out of context, b'mesiv al yeno. Right away, Rashi says you're drinking wine. Ose tzhikotav bedevre Torah. Like I said, he's amusing himself with devre Torah. That's the way they're joking around, quoting Pesukim, singing Pesukim. But if he's saying the Devrei Torah in the proper time over a party, that's fantastic. On Yom Tov, he lifts the cup, he makes a toast. What's the toast? He says, Halakha, the laws of Yom Tov. On the contrary, he brings good to the world. Comes the Gemara continues. He'id Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Meshum Rabbi Shimon ben Hananya. Kol HaKoreh Pasuk Bezmano. Anybody that quotes a Pasuk in its proper time, in its proper context, Levi Tova Le'olam. He brings good to the world. Shene'emar V'davar Be'ito Matov. Something, especially Devre Torah, that's said in the right time, Matov. How good is that? That is good. We learned in the Mishnah, Halochesh al Makkah, Hein lo chelek la'olam haba. Halochesh al Makkah is talking about somebody has a wound on his hand, let's say. In those days, they used to say some pesukim. They would say some words of Torah on the wound itself in order to heal it. Again, it's not conventional medicine over here. He would say different pesukim as like a magic of some sort in order to heal it. So Yomara says, if a person does this, he loses his chelek la'olam haba. Now, one of the things he's saying is either a pasuk or he's saying God's name, which we'll see now. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yohanan ubrokek ba. Aha. It's a whole ceremony, procedure over here. It's not so simple. It's talking about where he spits on it first. First he spits on the wound. After he spits, then he quotes the pasuk. What's the problem with that? Lefi she'en mazkirim shem shamayim ala rikika. It's not respectful to say God's name after you spit. As if Chasbu Shalom, the name of Hashem belongs where there's a spit. So that's the case where it's asu. It's a very specific case. You spit on the item, on the makkah, and then you say the pasuk. Look at Ashi. Ashi says, ubrokek. Right column, right in the middle there. Ubrokek. Sheken derech melachashim, the way of these people that whisper on the makkah, lerakek kodem alachash, they spit first. The asul leskir pasuk al lechisha, you're not allowed to quote a pasuk then after that. The yesh lachashim shkan lerakek achareim, some say the pasuk first then spit. Ve'omer otam belashon naaz, umaskim lehem sham belashon naaz, and some say the pasuk in not Hebrew lashon hakodesh, they say it in a foreign tongue. Ve'amal erabid demutar. Wow, so here's the rules. The only way it's asud is spitting first on the makkah and then saying the pasuk in Lashon HaKodesh. But if he says the pasuk and then spits, or he spits and says the pasuk in La'az, he says the pasuk in a foreign language, the pasuk in English, for example, not something to forfeit the olam haba. That's the rules. Gemara says, Itmar Rav Amar, afilu Negat Sara'at. Right. Which means, even if he quotes the Pasuk, Negat Sara'at, Kiyeh Be'or Be'saro, this Pasuk doesn't have God's name in it. Doesn't matter. If he spits on the Makkah, and then he quotes the words of Pasuk from the Torah, even like that, with Negat Sara'at, it's still going to be Asur. Inu Halek Lanaba, you cannot use the Torah for medicinal purposes. Rav Hanina Amar, Afilu Vayikra El Moshe. Oh, that's even better. which means at least the pasuk of Nega Tzara'at talks about somebody that has leprosy and it gets healed. The third guy is quoting an arbitrary pasuk over the Makkah, Vayikra el Moshe. It's got nothing to do with healing. He's just using the Torah's power in order to heal him. He says in the Zichut, I'll quote any pasuk in the Torah. The Torah itself is going to bring me a healing. Even though there's no healing word in the pasuk itself, it's still us. Look at Rashi. Va'afilu vayikra el Moshe. She'en bo lo choli ve'lo nega. That pasuk doesn't mention any sickness, doesn't mention any negaim. De'en ra'ui le'lochshu ala makkah. Ve'en mazkirot shem fa'elam kasaburu. His intention by reading that pasuk is le'natzel b'schut devre Torah. And the zechut of the Torah that I'm saying, I'll get saved. Asur. So again, those are the rules. Spitting, then quoting the pasuk in Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, now we talk about little medicine on Shabbat. Tanu Rabbanan. Sachin u'mishameshin b'bnei me'ayim b'Shabbat. You're allowed to put oil on the intestines on Shabbat and rub it. That's what they used to do in order to heal the intestines. As she says, ve'em bekach b'shum refu'ah. It's not considered refu'ah because just like you're allowed to drink on Shabbat, shtiyaz mutar on Shabbat, sicha, rubbing oil on Shabbat, rubbing oil is compared to drinking. Just like you can drink on Shabbat, it's pasuk. So you can rub the oil on the intestines on Shabbat. Ve'lochashin nechishat nechashin v'achrabim b'Shabbat. Wow. There's a certain words, people know them, you're able to scare away snakes and scorpions. When you say this special pasuk or something like that, and the snakes and scorpions go away. So it's permissible to do that on Shabbat, and you shouldn't think that it's considered trapping. No, it's not considered trapping the animal on Shabbat, and therefore you'll have to say this these words. Uma'avirim kli al gabei ha'ayin b'Shabbat. You're allowed to put a metal vessel over your eye on Shabbat. Let's say a person's eye is swelling up. So what do they do? You take metal. You take a metal vessel, and you put it over the eye, or you press it against the eye, in order to keep the swelling down. That's what Rashi says. Look at the Rashi on the second column, first top line. Kli ala ayin, shekederik nitin kli matechet alayin keder lekarer ha'ayin, to cool it off. Inami, kegon sheosin adam shehash be'eno makifin eno betabat, or they put like a ring around his eye or something like that. Okay, in any event, the Gemara says, Amar Rabban Shimon Gamliel b'med devrim amurim b'chli anital. Yeah, that's only talking about a kli that's not mukseh. You want to take a metal, a key, let's say, or another type of a knife or something like that, that's permissible. Of course, if it's mukseh, you're not allowed to take such an item and put it on the eye. The ain shu'adim bidvar shedim b'Shabbat. That's a gufo. So it means that would be called a gufo. It means, let's say, hasron kis or mukseh mahmat gufo and things like that. Very good. The ain shu'adim bidvar shedim b'Shabbat. What does that mean? You can't speak to the shedim on Shabbat. That referring to? Look at Rashi. Shechin osin kishuvdim shum davar. In the olden days, when you lost something, you lost an object. How are you going to find the object? So they would summon the demons, and they would ask the demons for help to find your objects. Now that's not considered asur. On Shabbat it is. Why? Because the pasuk says in the Navi, "Memeso chefsecha v'daber davar." Memeso chefsecha. On Shabbat you have to abstain from seeking your own personal needs. Finding lost objects is going to do with Shabbat. That's your personal needs. To summon a shed in order to find the lost object, no good. Rabbi Yosef omer, af bechol asur. Rabbi Yosef says, by the way, that's asur, even during the week. Not because you're using shedim from the Torah's law. It's because it's dangerous. When a person uses shedim, sometimes they get upset at you, and at the person, and they can bring the guy to sakana. So Rabbi Yosef advises, you know what? Never employ the shedim for your use, because they can go against you and it can put you into danger. Amar Ravuna, halakha can be Yosef. By the way, the halakha follows Rabbi Yosef. Don't use shedim. The af Rabbi Yosef lo amra ela mishum sakana. And by the way, Rabbi Yosef didn't mean it's asur from the Torah necessarily. When the Torah said you can't use shedim, that was talking about to use a shed to do an errand for you, or to fetch something for you, or to, you know, fly you somewhere. But to ask just information from a shed to where a lost object is from the Torah, it's not forbidden. But it's not advisable, because it can bring to sakana. Gemara tells a story. כי הד רב יוסף, רב יצחק בר יוסף, אבלה בארזה, ותעביד לניסה. What happened was, according to our version of the Gemara, he used a shed for something. And the shed got angry at him. And the shed took the rabbi, and he swallowed him into a tree. He put him into a cedar tree. Now he was locked in a cedar tree. How's he going to get out? Gemara said he was lucky. ותעביד לניסה. A miracle happened. Paka arza upalte. The cedar tree busted open, and he escaped. But if it wasn't for that miracle, he would have been in trouble. That's the way our text says. But look at that Rashi. She has a little different version over there. Ki ad rav Yitzchak haya shuri b'maaseh shedim ubikesh hashed laziko la'asot v'na'asa lo nes u'balo ha'eres. He learns the opposite, Rashi. He learns that he used the shed, and the shed wanted to damage him, and the miracle happened to him that he got swallowed in the tree. So the shed couldn't find him. That's the other thing. Either way, you don't start with the shedim. They're dangerous. Taru Rabbanan. We learned in a braita. Sachin umshameshim bibnei me'ayim b'shabbat. We said you're allowed to put the oil on the intestines on Shabbat. Ubevad shelo yaseh kedirik shu oseh b'chol. So long as you don't do it in the normal way that you do it during the week, you have to make a shinui. Hechi avida. So what do you want the guy to do? Rabbi Hama b'Rabbi Hanina amar sach b'akach me'mashmesh. First, put the oil on, and then rub. I guess during the week, they would rub first, and then put the oil on, do it reverse. He says, no, put the oil in your hand, and rub it, and smear it, and rub the intestine simultaneously. Right? Massage it at the same time. Taru banan. Sare shemen v'sare betzim. Okay, these are different types of shedim, that they ask the oil, they use oil to find some information out, or they take, let's say, the kilipa, the shells of eggs, and they also use them to find out certain information, as she calls them, sare shemen, yesh ma'aseh shedim ששואלים על ידי shemen, kare sare shemen, v'ainu sare bo'an, v'yesh שואלים בשופרת של ביצה, v'kare sare ביצים. Anyway, it says, "Sareh shuvim betzim mutarim l'shul b'hem, ela mutarim l'shul b'hem." What's the bet?
We have to get. Someone uses the shadeh, not sareh, but
shadeh betzim. Shadeh, we throw it away.
No shadeh, but no,
shadeh. Okay, the sareh or shadeh, the shadeh. That's good. But what's the bet? There's a bet kirsa over here.
He uses the side. The Yerama says, "Gives the shadeh."
Shadeh. But what's the bet? The bet, we have to go to the Gaon. The Gaon says, Ela mepne shemechazebin, which means you could use them, but not advisable. You know why? Because they lie. You can't trust them. The information that these shedim give are not accurate. Therefore, the Gemara is giving you advice. You're allowed to use them, no problem, but why would you want to use them if they're really not going to give you the right answer? Mechazebin, they lie. Comes the Gemara continues. Lo hashim al shemen shebekli. Okay. There's a certain type of lahash where they put oil in a vessel and then they say certain things over it and they're able to get information. As she says, otanosim ma'aseh shedim, the people that use the shedim, darkan l'chosh al shemen shebichli. They put the shemen in a keli. The end darkan l'chosh al shemen shebayad. But they don't do it as long as it's in the palm. If you keep the oil in the palm, the shedim will not appear. Exactly. If somebody offers you oil in his hand, take it. Because you know there's no shedim in there. Because they don't do it. But if they offer you oil in a keli, you better suspect maybe they played around with shedim and therefore that oil is going to be dangerous. But you don't make any things with shedim when the oil is in the hand. Lefichach. Sachin meshemen shebiyad, ve'en sachin meshemen shebikli. Like we just said, somebody offers it to you. If he offers it to you in the hand, take it. If he offers it in the vessel, you suspect that this guy's a shedim person, don't take it. Rabbi Tzhak bar Shemuel bar Martag bar tells a story. Ikla lahu ushbiza. He got to a certain place, a lodging. Aiteh le mishcha b'mana. No, they brought him oil. It was in a vessel. He took it. Shaf, and he anointed his face with it. Nafkan leit simhe be'apeh. What happened? All he broke out in boils. All the boils broke out on his face. Nafak leshu. So he went out to the market like that. Hazite ayi etita. a certain lady that was an expert in shedim saw the rabbi's face with all these boils. Amra zika dehemet kahazina acha. I see the spirit of hemat, which is a shed. It's all over your face. You must have gotten affected by the shedim. Avda lim milta. She said a certain pasuk, whatever it is, and she was able to heal him. Amar le Rabbi Abba le Rabba Bar Mori Keti. What's the question? Rifua. You're right. That's why it's a sechin beveret beshem beveret. But the point is, you might think it's medicinal. It's considered healing. Rifua lachemim uosir on Shabbat. It's not considered the refuah that Achamim was said. It's not medicine. Shemin, sachin, like you said. That's exactly the point. People anoint themselves with oil. The Gemara says a pasuk.
He's massaging
his
stomach, so it's being, you see he's doing something.
That's so pashut. How did you know you said Bnei Melachim? Where do you know that? From the Gemara. It's not so pashut. The Gemara has to tell you that's a chidush. Gemara says a pasuk. Kol ha-mahala shesamti b'Mitzrayim lo asim aleicha ki ani Adonai rofeicha. All the sicknesses that are in Egypt, God says, I'm not going to put on you because I'm your doctor. Gemara says, v'chi b'achal shelo sam refuah lama. If he's not putting it on us, what do you need doctor for? Amale haki amar Rabbi Yochanan mikra zeh ma'asvon drashen emar v'yomer im shamoa tishma lekol Hashem uleicha. Im tishma lo asim. That's what it means. If you listen to the Torah, I won't place. But if you don't listen to the Torah, I'm going to put the makot. But you know what, God, I'm going to have mercy on you anyway. Even though I'm going to put it on you, I will heal you. Okay, now we talk about when Abidi Ezer got sick. The students came to visit the rabbi. So the rabbi said, Abidi Ezer said, Hama aza yesh ba'olam. The sun is very hot in the world, which means it's a time of judgment. God is angry at me. That's why he made me sick, because there's a dinim. Itchilu hen bochin, v'Rabbi Akiva misachek. So all the students started crying, and Rabbi Akiva started laughing. Amru lo, lama atam misachek? They tell Rabbi Akiva, what are you laughing for? Amar lehem v'chim mipnei ma'atem bochim. He said, what are you crying for? Amru lo, efshar sefer Torah shalui betzar, v'lo nebkeh. Rabbi Eliezer is a living Sefer Torah. He's in pain. Should we not cry? That's why I'm laughing. So long as I saw that my rabbi, his wine did not turn into vinegar, and his flax did not become damaged, and his oil did not become putrid, and his honey did not become spoiled. I would say maybe Rabbi is getting all his reward in this world. Maybe God's cashing him out in this world to take him away from the next world. But now that I see that even Rabbeinu is getting affliction, and he's sameach, in the sense to say, then good. God's punishing him in this world for maybe a few avirot that he did, so he goes up to Olam Haba, perfect. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Akiva, did I not do the whole Torah? What do you mean I have sins? Did I not keep the whole Torah? What are you telling me over here? Rabbi, you taught us. Ki Adam en sadiq ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov velo yechayta. Even the biggest sadiq that does good, velo yechayta, he has maybe a little flaw. Shadis, he wasn't saying he made sins. Asher ya'aseh tov, even in the tov that the tzaddik does, sometimes the tov is lacking. He wasn't saying there is sin. Asher ya'aseh tov, he did good. He prayed Netzach Hamah, but maybe he didn't have all the kavanot that he was supposed to have. So, is lacking, a deficiency. That sometimes even the tzaddik, his tov is lacking. Okay. So he was consoled by that. Turn the banan. Similar story when Abidi Ezer got sick. The four elders came to visit. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Azab and Azab, Rabbi Akiva. Na'ana, Rabbi Tarfon, the Amar. So each one wanted to console Abidi Ezer. So the first one that opened up was Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi, you are greater than a drop of rain. שטיפה של גשמים בעולם הזה, rain only benefits us in this world. ונבי, בעולם הזה, בעולם הבא, the teachings of רבנו, they benefited us in this world, and they will benefit us in עולם הבא. נענה רבי יושב אמר, טוב, אתה לישראל, you're better to us, יותר מגלגל חמה, better than the ball of the sun, שגלגל חמה בעולם הזה, the sun only benefits us in this world. ונבי, בעולם הזה, בעולם הבא, your benefits are eternal. נענה רבי לעזר בן עזר ואמר, טוב אתה לישראל, יותר מאב ואם, you're even better than parents, שאב ואם בעולם הזה, parents benefit you in this world. ורבי בעולם הזה, בעולם הבא, נענה רבי עקיבא ואמר, חביבין יסורין, he said, יסורין are great, חביבין יסורין, because כפרה, when a person goes to יסורין, he has atonement. אמר להם, סמכוני, everybody says, hey, lift me up over here. Lift me out of my bed. Tishmi'a devri Akiva Talmidi. I want to hear what Rabbi Akiva is talking about. Shamar Havivin Yisurin. That he says Yisurin are good because it's kapara. So I want to explain this Gemara over here. Why was Rabbi Eliezer so interested to hear what Rabbi Akiva had to say? All the other students gave him such beautiful praises. But when he heard Havivin Yisurin, he propped me up. Let me hear what my Rabbi Akiva is saying over here. Chat is like this. Rabbi Akiva consoled the rabbi. This was a consolation. What's the pshat? All the other rabbis were saying, your benefit is better than the rain, your benefit is better than the sun, better than parents. Their benefit is only in this world. But you benefited us in this world and the next world. They were talking about his past. The fact that he taught Torah for so many years, so his benefit was great. But they weren't consoling him because he was saying, that's why I'm sad. Because now I can't do that anymore. Now I'm sick. Now I'm in bed. Now I have no purpose. Now I have no function. You're talking about the stuff that I did when I was in my strength. That doesn't console me. On the contrary, it makes me feel worse that I'm not able to function to my purpose. Rabbi Akiva came along and said, no, Rabbi, what you're going through now is purposeful. Chavivin Yisurin, in your present state now, there's also a tikkun that you're doing yourself. This is Kaparat Avonot. The way Rabbeinu is accepting the Yisurin, that's also teaching us. Emunah is teaching us, Yirat Shammai is teaching us how a Jew has to accept Yisurin, which means just like you taught us all those years from the book, now you're teaching us already from the way you're accepting the Yisurin. So when Rabbi Eliezer heard that, he said, prop me up, let me hear what he has to say. Because he's already talking in the present. He's talking now, something that I'm doing now, that already excites me, that already can console me. The Gemara says, so what do you want? Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, minayin lecha. He said, Rabbi Akiva, how do you know the Yisurin is mechaper? Amar, mikra, ani doresh. Oh, he's like, I have a derasha. What's the pasuk say? Ben shtem aseh shana menashe b'malcho. Menashe, that was the son of Hezkiah. He became the king at 12 years old. 55 years he was the king of Yerushalayim. He did the worst things. He was the worst king. He did Avodah Zarah. And it says, Gam elde Mishneh Shlomo, Ashir Itiko, Anshi Hezkiah, Melech Yehuda. In the end of Mishneh, it says that Hezkiah Melech, that's the father of Menasheh, he brought back all the lost Mishalim, the parables of King Solomon. It was known that Hezkiah Melech, in his time, there was a renaissance of Torah. He went, they couldn't find a student from Dan to Azad to Be'er Sheba to the north to the south that was an expert in the laws of Tum'ah and Tahara. They knew everything. So the Gemara says, and that was Menasheh's father. How in the world did Menasheh go off? Didn't his father teach him Torah? וכי חזקיה מלך יהודה לכל העולם כולו לימד תורה. He taught Torah to the whole world. ולמנשה בנו לא לימד תורה. We don't think he taught his son Torah. אלא מכל תורח שטרח בו, או מכל עמל שעמל בו, לא העלה למותיו. Of course! חזקיה toiled and taught him and troubled himself and tried and tried and tried. But with all that being said and done, didn't work. What's the only thing that broke Menasheh back to the fold? Ela Yisurin. The end of his life, God afflicted him, and he got smacked a little, and as a result of the Yisurin, that made him make the Shuvah. Shne'emar, Pasuk, Vaydaber Hashem and Menasheh v'l'amo. V'lo ikshibu. They weren't listening to God. וַיָּבֹא הַשֵּׁם עַלֵּיהֶם אֶת שָׂר הַסַּבָּה שֶׁל הַמֶּלֶךְ אַשּׁוּר. So God brought the Assyrians against Menashe, וַיַּלְכִּדוּ אֶת Menashe, they captured him, בְּחֹחִים, וַיַּאֲסִרוּ בְּנֶחֹשְׁתַיִם, they tied him up in chains, וַיוֹלִכוּ בַּבֵּלָה, and they brought him down to Babel. וְכְתִיב, and it says, וּבְצַר לֹא חִלָּה אֶת פְּנֵי הַשֵּׁם אֱלֹהָיו. When they were giving him troubles, all of a sudden he cried out and he prayed to God. He subjugated himself in front of God, the God of his fathers. God heard the prayers of Menasheh. And God returned them back to the king. So what do you see over here? You see what all whatever Hezekiah tried to do to his son didn't work. A little affliction from the king of Assyria, all of a sudden Menashe found back that God is the true God. The Pasuk continues and says, over there by Menashe, Vayeda Menashe ki Hashem hu ha-Elohim. Menashe realized that indeed God is the God. Halamata, what do you learn from this? It's all Rabbi Akiva was telling Rabbi Eliezer. What do you learn from this? Shechavivin Yisurin. Look how great Yisurin is. Yisurin is so great that it was able to turn around even somebody so stubborn and so rasha like Menashe, the Gemara says he worshipped every Avodah Zarah in the book. And when the Yisurin came upon him, right away the Yisurin were able to bring him back to the true God. Tanu Rabbanan. Shelosha ba'u ba'alila. Following three people, they came to God with claims. And their claims were actually claims of a debate of some sort, and their claims were accepted, which means they came with a certain logic that they presented in front of God, and it was accepted. It's like they beat God. Kivyachol, Gemara says, Elu and Kayin, Esav uMenashe. Kayin dichtiv. Kayin tells God after he killed Hevel, Gadol avoni minneso. He said it rhetorically, according to the Gemara. Is my sin so great to bear? Why can I get kapara? Amar lefanav Rebono Shalom, Kayin tells God, Klum gadol avoni mishishim ribosh atidim lachatol lefanecha v'ata soleach lehem. Is my sin worse than the sin of the 600,000 Jews that are going to eventually worship the golden calf? And eventually you're going to forgive them. I'm one guy. My sins worse than them. Gadol avonim. If you were able to bear, Cain obviously was a prophet. He saw the future, so he told God, "If you're going to be able to bear such a big sin of the Jewish nation worshiping the golden calf, my sin is greater than that." That's a claim he had. It's a good claim. Next one, Esav. Esav is that's the case we're talking about where Yaakov stole the blessing. So what does Esav tell his father? Dichtiv haberacha hati lecha abi. What does that mean? You only have one beracha? There's only one beracha in your pocket? Hey, give me another beracha then. I'll take a beracha. He couldn't answer it. And then he had to bless him. That's a good claim. Menashe b'tchila kara le'elahut harbe u'basof kara le'elohe abotav. Menashe, that time when he was under duress, he prayed to all the gods in the world. He went through his Rolodex. Every single god he prayed to. After he didn't get any answers, the last God he prayed to was what? The God of his fathers. What was his claim? When he turned to God, he said, listen, I'm praying to you now. If you don't answer me, then you're also like them. Well, what's the difference between you and them? They didn't answer me, you don't answer me. He put God in the Kivyachon. He put him in a spot. You have to answer me, otherwise you're like them. And he said, good. And if God answered him, he was saved. He answered, that was his key. Yeah, but she got saved. But she got saved. Okay. Good. Abba Shaul omer af ha'oget Hashem b'otiyotav. Tana u'begbulin u'bilshon aga. Okay. Ha'oget Hashem b'otiyotav. That's talking about where he explicitly verbalizes the name of God the way it's written. That, the Gemara says, anybody that says explicitly the name of God in such a way loses his chelek la'olam abba. So the Gemara gives two rules here. Number one, bigbulin. It only applies when you do it outside the Beit HaMikdash. And number two, bilshon aga, where you do it in a Lashon Aga is like a foreign language. Let's get the rules good. Look at that sheet, please. Tana. When do we say that if a person verbally expresses the name of Hashem, he has never chalek lama ba? Big bulin, that's outside the Temple Mount. On the Temple Mount, they use the name of God. So therefore, in the Temple Mount, no problem. That's the way they said Hashem's name. They said it explicitly. So we're talking about we did it off the Temple Mount. What does that mean? Afilu b'mikdash. Even in the Mikdash, lo lashon aga la'az she'eno oge be'otiyotav lashon ha'kodesh shelanu el ashar lo azim aga lashon b'raga safa b'pira bi. Oh, which means even in the Mikdash that we said what? That it's okay to say it because in the Mikdash that's where they did it. Lo lashon aga, but only if you said it in lashon ha'kodesh. But if you said it in a foreign language on the Temple Mount, it's also a problem. Okay, so that's the rules of Ogeh Besher. Okay, so again, either off the Temple Mount in Lashon HaKodesh, or on the Temple Mount, even in a foreign tongue, say you don't do that. In the Temple Mount, they only would say it in the Hebrew. But if you say it in the foreign tongue, it's a problem. Rashi has a different explanation. Look at the Lashna Harina. See the Lamed Aleph in Rashi? It's Lashna Harina. Aga Lashon Uga. Aga doesn't mean foreign. Aga over here, according to Rashi, means a circle. Makom sheyesh bo chaburat b'nei adam. You have a group of guys sitting down. Shemedavrim devrei chol. Givurin kari chutz l'mikdash v'asu l'fanesh sham b'nei arba'im. Oh, which means, according to this version, what does it mean? People are talking devrei chol, devrim betelim. And he's chayav, where he does it off the Beit HaMikdash, off the Temple Mount, and he does it in a group of people. Ube'aga. Meaning, he's not in the Beit HaMikdash, he's sitting with 10 guys, joking around and all that, and he says God's name explicitly in front of those, in front of a group of people. That's the second explanation. First explanation doesn't say that. First explanation just says even the Temple Mount, the Temple Mount himself. Second explanation is Ba'aga, meaning with a group of people. Yeah, it's like a mizanzel with the shame in front of people joking around. You say this God's name and explicitly like that. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, okay, that's that. Now we go back to the Mishnah. Shelosha melachim v'arba hejotot. What did we learn in the Mishnah? Three commoners, three kings, and four commoners lost their chelek to Olam Haba. Tarubanan, Yerovam. Yerovam was one of them. He was the king of Israel. Now, why did they call him Yerovam? You know his name was Yerovam ben Nevat. Where did they get the name Yerovam? Shiriba'am. First explanation, as she says, Shiribetz et Yisrael. He, so to speak, he hit the Jewish people and lowered them. Because he's the one that caused the Jewish people to worship Avodah Zarah. So therefore, he lowered them through his decrees of worshiping Avodah Zarah. So Yerovam, the one that hit the nation. Davar Acher, Yerovam, she'asa meriva be'am. He made a fight, civil war with the people. How did he make a civil war? He got half the people to worship Avodah Zarah. What were the other people, the other half doing? Screaming at them, don't worship Avodah Zarah. So therefore, Yerovam, make a meriva, caused the strife between the nation. Davar acher, Yerovam, she'asa meriva ben Yisrael l'avihem shebashamayim. He made strife between the Jewish nation and their father in heaven. As a result of worshipping Avodah Zarah, it caused the relationship between God and the Jewish people to become strained. Okay. Ben Nevat. His father's name was Nevat. Now even the name Nevat is significant. Ben Shenivat Velo Ra'a. He glanced, he had a vision, but he didn't see good. Yerovam's father, the Gemara that tells a story. He saw a vision, he saw like a prophecy of some sort, but he misread it. Nevat, he saw, but he didn't see the right way. But I will explain that. Tana, hu Nevat, hu Micha, hu Sheva ben Bichri. Wow, all the same guy. This guy Nevat is Micha. Micha, we're going to read about, was already in the times of Egypt. And not only that, he's also a guy that was in the times of King David. A fellow by the name of Sheva ben Bichri. It's all the same guy.
Is it Gilgul or one person that lived?
You can go either way. You can go either way. From the Gemara, it's much, but it's the same guy. Look, Gemara says Navat.
The guy is Navi.
Right, but you'll see what happens. Navat, shenivat velo ra'a. Navat is called Navat because he saw, but he didn't understand. Micha, shenit mechmech bebinyan. Micha is called Micha because he was crushed in the building. Micha. Umas shemo, sheva bimbechli shemo. Look at Rashi now. Rashi tells us an amazing story. Look at the bottom Rashi on the first column. There was a guy called Micha. He got crushed as a human brick into one of the buildings in Mitzrayim. They put him into the building instead of a brick. It was a baby. Moshe told God, look what you're doing, God, to the people. Got to this level. If they don't have bricks, they're using the Jewish babies as bricks. Don't worry. These guys that I'm putting as bricks, nothing's going to come from them. They're going to be the Shaim when they grow up. So I'm doing them a favor. I'm putting them in the bricks now. If they have life, and if you want to see, I'm right. What did he do? He took out one of these babies. Who did he take out? Micha. What ended up happening to Micha? Avodah Zarah, pissing Micha. So you see, he was right. Of course, we know because he was right. He was just showing it to Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't see it, Micha. So that's why they called him Micha. Okay? So comes the Gemara and continues. Good. So again, I'm meaning again. Hu nevat, hu micha, hu sheva bevechri. Navat, he saw, but he didn't know what he saw. We'll see. The Gemara is going to explain. Micha, netmechmech bebinyam. We saw he was in the bricks. Oma shevo sheva bevechri. Says Paro used to take blood baths every day. He used to take 150 boys, kill them, lo alenu, and bathe in their blood in the morning, and 150 in the afternoon, that was a cure for his leprosy. So again, the Chazal said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, this is a terrible gezerah. It was when Chuz said, don't worry, these kids that he's taking are destined all to become the Sha'im. So I'm doing them a favor. I'm taking them now when they're still babies so they don't grow up to be what they become. So that's what the Chazal hinted to us in the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. Is Al tistakel bekankan, ela bema sheyesh betocho. That's our version of don't judge a book by its cover. Don't look at the kankan, don't look at the bottle. Look what's inside the bottle. But kan is 150. Al tistakil be kankan. Don't look at the 150 children that were slaughtered in the morning and 150 in the afternoon. Ela b'mashe betocho. Look what's inside of them. Look at these neshamot. These neshamot were destined to become neshaim. So therefore God says, don't look at the kankan. Mashe betocho, I know what I'm doing. That's what happened to Micha. Comes again, Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanan. Shelosha nibtu velo ra'u. There's three people that saw something and they misread it. Ve'eluhen Nevat v'Achitofel v'Stagdin le'Paro. Nevat, Achitofel, which was the advisor of David, and the astrologers, Hatumim of Paro. Nevat ra'a esh yotzet ma'amato. Navat, he saw in a dream that the fire was coming from his amma, from his body. When he saw fire coming from his body, hu sabar iu malich, he thought that's a sign that God's showing him he's going to become king. Velohi Yerovam hu denafak, meaning it wasn't him that was going to be the king, it was his son. Yerovam is going to become the king. Achitofel, what was the story of Achitofel? Now, by the way, she explains the rest of the story there. Now, it's very important now. Navat saw this light coming out of him, right? Oh, must be God's choosing me to become the king. So what did he do? He lived in the times of David also. He was Sheva ben Bichri. Sheva ben Bichri was involved in a rebellion to overthrow David. Why? Because Navat, he thought he's the guy. But he misread. He saw, but he didn't see right. He didn't realize it's not him that's going to become the king, it's his son. So that's why Navat was Sheva ben Michni. That's the one that made the rebellion against David HaMelech. Achitofel, same story. Ra'as sara'at shezarhalu al amato. He saw on his body, he broke out into leprosy in a dream. Hu savar iyu melech. He thought he's going to become the king. Now why in the world would he interpret if he sees leprosy on his body, he becomes a king? Because just like a leper is separated from the rest of the people, so he understood that the king's also separate from the rest of the people. He's a different league. So therefore, he's not going to become king. Vinoi. Batsheva bitu denafka mine. That what? Who came out of Mine Shlomo? Who came out of Achitofel? His daughter was Batsheva. Who came out of Batsheva? Married Shlomo. So therefore, you see, the kings did come out of him, but through his daughter, through Batsheva. Achitofel thought he's going to become the king. That's why he sided with Avshalom that went against King David, figuring that if he sides with Avshalom, one day Avshalom will die and he'll take over the kingdom. But it was a mistake. He saw, but he saw wrong. The kingdom wasn't coming out of Achitofel. It was coming out of his granddaughter. Okay. Daughter or granddaughter? Batsheva. Okay, I said it. Daughter.
He was
David Shmer. He was what? Yeah, who was David? It's a grandeur. Now, whenever it says the word Hema sounds like, oh, the famous ones. What do you mean the famous ones? It just happened. Never happened before. As if, oh, these are the ones we knew about already. It says, Hema shera'u etztegnine par'o v'ta'u. The astrologers of Paro saw this, but they made a mistake. Ra'u shemoshi'an chisei b'maymu loke. The astrologers came to Paro one day and said, listen, we know that the leader of the Jewish people, he's going to become damaged through water. Well, we see it. Water and Moshe don't go together. So what did they make a decree? Amar kolabena yilod ayorat tashlichu. So they made a decree. This was before Moshe Rabbeinu was born. All the Jewish boys drown him in the water. They thought that they'd get rid of Moshe before he was born because they saw he something's going to happen with him in the water. Ve'enlo yad'u sh'al eskem me'miribah loke. But they didn't realize that it wasn't the water of kolabena yilod. It was the water of hitting the rock. They messed up. So therefore, Hema, that's the water, the famous waters that the astrologers of Paro didn't know. Last point. How do you know that Yerovam does not have a chelek na olam abba? How do you know Yerovam indeed lost his dichtiv? The pasuk says, lachid ulashmid. To teach us that two things happened to Yerubam. Nachid in this world, or Ashmid, Le'olam Abba. He'll be destroyed here, and he was destroyed in Olam Abba. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mepneima, Zakah Yerubam Le'melchut. Why did Yerubam have a zechut to become the king at all in the first place? Because he gave rebuke to King Solomon, Le'shem Shamayim. Mepneima Ne'ana, so why did he get punished then? Because he did it in public, and he embarrassed him. Shne'emar, what was the musar that he gave him? Ve'zeh adavar asher hirim yad b'melech. That Yerovam told the king, Shlomo bana et Milo. Shlomo built something called the Milo. Sagar et Peretz Ir David Abiv, and by that he sealed up the wall that his father opened up. Let me tell you the story outside. There used to be a wall. There was an opening in the wall. The Jewish people would go through the wall to Yerushalayim to the Beit Hamikdash. Shlomo got married to the daughter of Paro, Bat Paro. He built her a big castle. He built the castle, now the wall was blocked. So now what happened, either, three explanations, either that the Jewish people now had to walk through this area and pay taxes in order to get through, because now it was already like a toll booth he built to get through, or that they had to go through the area of where the queen was, Bat Paro, and she would enlist people to the service of her service now. Do this for me, do that for me, do that. So therefore, instead of causing the people now to go up to Yerushalayim easily, now he built this palace over there in order that his wife should now have servants to serve because all the people coming up to Yerushalayim. Or stop, it just blocked it. That they had hard access to come up to Yerushalayim now because of this this Milo, this plaza that he built with the apostles. You know, I'm rebuked him. What are you doing? Your father made it so easy for the people to go up to Jerusalem. And you, so you can give your wife some extra help or some money to collect. You built this palace over there in the spot? That was a good rebuke. Gemara. Your father made holes in the wall in order to the people go up to Yerushalayim for Avdei. The atah gadarta, and you fence them or them kedei lasot angaria lebatpura, just so the daughter of Pura can make some money. Either like I told you, either making the toll booth, or now she gives a third explanation. That's a pshara I didn't tell you. Third explanation is the kings sleep until the third hour. The people would want to come to Yerushalayim early. Netzahamah, they want to pray in the bed. They couldn't get there because he's sleeping. And the doors were locked because he built this gate over there. So they said, you know what? You know why you did it? Because you wanted the people to pay the daughter of Paro a lot of money to give you a copy of the key. That's why you're doing it. So she can get some money. So she'll sell keys to get into the gate. Either way, he rebuked him. What are you doing closing the gates of Jerusalem over there and building a palace in this place where your father was the opposite? Umay, we end up now with this. Umay, v'zeh asher erim yad b'melech. So what does it say that he rebuked him in a way which was arrogant? Amar Rav Nachman, shechalatz tefilav defanav. That was his mistake. He went and he took his tefillin off in front of Shlomo HaMelech. The king is the king. To take a tefillin off in front of Adam Gadol is not proper. You're revealing yourself in front of the person. You're supposed to keep the tefillin on. But on purpose, he wanted to show, Shlomo, hey, nothing. He took his tefillin shalosh off. That already was considered chutzpah. Let's just read the last Rashi. Shayalu lefnot etzar acher. He should have moved to the side. Mepene emat malchuto. He's the king. Velachlot shelo befanav. Leshnach hanem chodet tefillin befanav. Labo latis kenegdo behozka. Okay, we do chodet tefillin. En nachon niot begidu rosh. It's not proper to be with a head uncovered in front of the king. Vehu etchid bemere. That started the rebellion. He didn't treat him like a king, and therefore he got punished. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.